This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer. He wears his sunglasses at night, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
I want to go around. We're going to go around and introduce everybody. We're going to get back to you, Nick. All right. Next, I'll go to the Hispanic Heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the Globetrotting, Headshotting, Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I have my air conditioner on behind me, which is probably the hum, but I'm all locked and loaded for tomorrow, baby, for Top Gun. Top Gun, I got my pickle salt for the popcorn in the movie theater. I'm very excited for this experience.
I was so excited at Doctor Strange when you turned around and you were like, do you want pickle salt? And I was like, God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I was. Trust me, Greg, the honor was all mine. Like, I was very happy to see you happy.
Oh, well, it blew Jen and I's mind when we went to on a date night a couple months ago and ran into the actual pickle in San Francisco. A pickle in a bag that I could eat in the movie theater.
Oh.
No, don't.
Don't.
I was gonna say, do you ever think you with the way, because you stuff like that, Nick, is why God put this curse on you? Did you ever think about that?
Yeah, potentially.
He's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Gettys.
There's only two ways to look at your life: before you've seen Top Gun Maverick and after you've seen Top Gun Maverick. I saw it last night and I cannot wait to see it tomorrow. Nick and Andy, y'all about to be changed forever. Just prepare yourselves. If you want to say goodbye to the current you, take a good look in the mirror tonight and then, you know, give a couple kisses because it's over.
Greg. Everybody. Ron, Nick, Tim. Well, Tim, this is about you, but just listen up. Last night I'm streaming and then I get a text message and I see it. I was like, it's a text message to me and Nick from Tim. What the heck's this about? End the stream, whatever. I get a voice memo from Tim Gettys. When has he ever sent a voice memo to anybody?
I didn't know how to do that.
And Tim is like, Nick, Andy, you and I, we've all watched around 120-something movies on In Review. 312 movies on In Review. Tonight I watched the best one by far, Top Gun Maverick. I was like, wow, this is setting the expectations way the freak up there. I don't know if I'm ready.
And our guest for today, who we will find out momentarily if he has seen Top Gun Maverick, is none other than the man you know from a million things. For me, he'll always be King Shark on Harley Quinn. That's where we're going to go with it. That's where I'll reference it. But there's a new show called Loot coming up June 24th on Apple TV. He's on tour right now. It's Ron Funches. Hello, Ron.
Hi. Good. Thank you.
How are you, sir?
Good. Is Nick a cop?
So Nick, we're back to you. What is going on with the eyes? What is the eye update? Why are you wearing sunglasses in the middle of the day?
I'm wearing sunglasses because my eyes are lathered with antibiotic ointment, which is not a word that I like using, but I have to use it because it's not to be confused with drops. I had some issues with my eyes, as you guys know, the last couple weeks, and I thought originally it was like an infection, but it turns out the oil glands in my old ass eyes eventually started to dry up a little bit and they got a little clogged and created cysts. I finally went to an ophthalmologist yesterday.
Ophthalmologist.
She's like, what? She's like, say it like that.
It's ophthalmologist. Fun to say. Everyone say it.
Ron, real quick, was it not only the glasses, but the earpiece? Was it the combination
of
both?
and the color of shirt. It's the full package.
God.
Oh, wow. God, no. Oh, God.
He changed the glasses.
Now he's a mic cop.
So I went, I was like, these aren't going away, man. And so I went to an ophthalmologist yesterday and she was like, listen, what'd your doctor give you? I was like, oh, it's full ration of antibiotics. She's like, those are useless. What you have is not an infection. It's not anything that's like transmittable or whatever. It's just a sign that your body's starting to break down and you're that much closer to death. Mm. And then I was like, well, what should we do about this? She's like, well, there's a really quick procedure. Now, I just want to warn everyone, whenever a doctor gets that excited about a quick procedure that you can do right there, it's going to be horrible. And if you are squeamish at all, and what I'm about to describe to you, what I went through yesterday, you might want to just fast forward till Greg taps his head. So Greg, when I'm done with the story, I want you to tap your head and your belly at the same time. Rub your belly, tap your head. Got it? She was like, what we need to do is go in and cut these things out of your eyelids. And I'm like, okay, I'm thinking that's super easy, right? You kind of just put a little incision in the front of the eyelid. She goes, no, actually, what we'll do is we'll numb your eyelids. Then we're going to put a clamp on the upper eyelid. Then we're going to flip your eyelid up like inside out because we have to cut it from the back side of your eyelid. Yeah. And then I have to scrape out the eyelid.
They're going from the inside.
They had to go to inside out. Fuck. She goes, otherwise you'll have scars on the lids and we'll get to the heart of the matter. And I was like, yeah, that seems horrible. And guys, it was. It was absolutely horrible.
Nick,
yeah.
You had the fire in the sky treatment.
I did. That's what I thought about. I thought about fire in the sky, and I thought if I was just covered in latex, that would be that scene from this movie.
Ugh, gross.
And they did both eyes. Luckily, I texted D beforhand because I drove. The doctor's like, I see that you drove. You'll probably be okay. And I'm like, I think
we're going
fast on this. We're going super fast. But I had my wife come pick me up, and that was fine. But yeah, I look like someone beat my ass.
See, for me, I you go to fire in the sky with the Clockwork Orange, right? Isn't that where they strap them down and do the thing? And like, Jesus,
that's kind of what it is. At one point, the doctor.
Well, no, this one had to be like somebody grabbed it and pulled it out, right? Was there just an intern who grabbed your eyelid and held it out?
No, they have a little clamp that they go up. But first off, they numb everything, so you really don't you don't really know what's going on because everything's just kind of fuzzy. You just kind of feel it's like the dentist when it like pushes out. You know, you just feel the pressure in your tooth, but you don't really feel the pain.
But the difference is with that, you can close your eyes.
Yeah, you can't close your eyes.
You have a front row fucking seat to this shit show.
Honestly, the thing that hurt the most was just the injections to numb it. But it was funny because they have this workflow down where like there's a nurse and then there was the doctor, and then the doctor was doing the injection, and as I was being injected in this eye, the nurse or the assistant rather was just like tapping my head over here. And I was like, what's going on over there? And she's like, I'm just tapping your head to distract you. And I'm like, well, if you tell me that, it's not a distraction.
That's not how it works at all.
But they were honestly great, and it went off without a hitch. And so now I'm just like lathering my eyes up with ointments.
She's like, now I'm pulling your earlobe. Why? To distract you from the tapping.
Yeah.
Like, oh, damn it.
It was
a quarter in your ear.
There it is.
Ron, what's the grossest thing you've ever had happen to you? Operation wise.
The grossest?
Yeah.
Well, recently I was a lot heavier and I lost a bunch of weight. And so then I got some of the fat. I got a tummy tuck. I got a lot of the fat cut off. Oh, my God.
I want to hear about that because I want to do that.
Okay, I'll tell you. A lot of you think that, you know, you hear about people doing it, you think it's just a bunch of like frail people or older ladies, and you think it could be easy. These are tough people who ever have to go through this. It was a harrowing experience. I passed out for the first time in my life in recovery, and which caused me to both vomit and piss myself. It's a great experience though, because then I woke up and everything was clean, so it was nothing on, you know, nothing on me. It was all a dream to me. Yeah,
I'm just gonna pretend that every time I vomit or piss myself or shit myself that I passed out. Like, just let somebody else deal with it.
Yeah, just let me go. I was in too much pain. I had to let it go. But basically, I think it's called I forget what it's how to pronounce most words, but it's a Sonoma or I forget how to pronounce. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, but I had some scar tissue build up, and so it started to just leak out of me. So then, like, warm liquid and fat cells were just coming out of my incision and out of my side, and I didn't know until I like was driving my son down to the school bus, and then I got out of my car and I see like a puddle. So that's probably the grossest.
So wait, what's the first step there?
That wins, by the way.
Is that panic? Is that panic? And you drive right to the hospital?
No, it's not panic, because I had the feeling like, oh, if I lost this much liquid and I'm not feeling like headed or faint at all, it must be extra, you know? So
I don't need this.
This is the extra liquid.
I could deal with this loss.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because it's like thinking about, you know, when your little people tell you about when you learn about your intestines or whatever, and they're just like, oh, it could actually go around the planet or whatever the fuck. And you're like, Greg, that sounds crazy. Like,
all right. It did not sound like when you're little people. I thought you said when your little people tell you. Like you had a staff that is just smaller people that are telling you.
That was a very appropriate comment there somewhere.
Yeah, sorry.
Greg is
sorry
right there that with me. I saw her the same thing. I was like, what the fuck?
But like, I've never thought about the fact that like, I don't understand how much liquid is in my body right now. Like, I it's guess that liquid. It can't be more than the size of me, duh. But like, if we were to just take all the liquid in me and put it in a bunch of cups, like, how fills that shit going to be?
It's going to be a lot.
They say 70%, right?
So, yeah, it's like the ocean.
You know, your weight times points.
But that's only water. Like, that's only water. And Kevin, we only use 2% of our brain.
Sure,
think about that.
Sure, yeah, you make a lot of sense.
Greg, I think you I think
I like how deep this podcast is.
I feel like we're going to talk about more gross stuff, Greg. I just want you to know you might
have. Oh, they said they you said to tap your head in my stomach or whatever when you were done talking about your eyes, though. So I feel like we've moved on. The eye surgery is done.
The surgery itself I'm done talking about. But, Tim, I want you to know that I've never empathized with another human being more than I did when I was in that chair yesterday. And you went through all those like LASIK things that you had to do. You had that eye injury you had a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I don't know that I could have anyone do anything farther than that to my eye because I don't wear glasses or contacts. And as I was sitting in this chair, I was like, hey, just so you know, like I don't do a lot of eye stuff. And the nurse was like, oh no, we can tell. Yeah, we can tell because she had to like when she tried to put the water like the drops.
She's like, wait, you can see happening in a bedroom. I'm just like, hey, just so you know, I don't do
no eye stuff.
Oh god,
not until we're married.
Oh god,
that's terrifying. I don't do well with eye stuff either. We've been over this, but like when I was a kid, my parents would like hold me down to do the eye drops because I was always allergic to some bullshit. So ever since then, whenever I want to do eye drops, I just kind of pour it on top of my eye and just hope that it falls in.
Gets in there somehow.
By gravity. Yeah. Gravity kind of helps out. I just kind of do that, you know.
It's weird stuff, how vocal though. We've been about eye stuff because it's like I'm on the opposite side where it's like I can easily poke my eye. No problem. Oh, you know what I mean?
Well, they
no
did. Way. Do you go to the eye doctor a lot? Because they did this thing called the eye pressure test.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, your eye pressure is way too high. And I was like, what does that mean? Is one of them going to explode? Like,
yeah. It's not good for your eye. That's just, what is that?
We got to leak the air out right now.
You know what? I have such good eyesight that I feel like at a certain point, I stopped going to the eye doctor. They were just like, sir, there's no point. Yeah. You
I feel 15, like I'm 20. Good.
Like coma.
Yeah.
They started paying you. They're like, you know, here, you know, we're wasting your time, sir. We apologize for this.
Mm-hmm. I did do the eye test yesterday, though, just because I was like, if I'm 2020 still, after all these years, I'll feel good about myself. And I'm happy to report I am, in fact, still 2020 vision. Not right now. Right now, I can't see 1 foot in front of my face because my eye's blurry because it's got the ointment in it. But normal times, 2020. So I'm happy about that.
What are you working with eye-wise? You a contact guy or you're just your natural?
Perfect. I'm just out here. I'm just out here raw eyeing. I'm just out here looking.
I'm simply viewing.
I'm just looking at everything I can see. There's eye issues that run my family that I'm concerned about. My grandfather had eye issues. My aunt currently is going through some issues, and even my mom. So, but currently, doing great. I'm very happy about it.
I want to ask you so many more questions about this tummy tuck surgery.
I want to thank you for your service in Desert Storm.
Semper Fi.
This is already a great one. I just fucking love it. Like anything you can get at Nick Ron, please do. He fucking deserves
Ron
it.
Knows already. Ron's a very accomplished entertainer or comedian. He understands the vibe of what this room is right now. He knows who's getting dunked on for the rest of the podcast.
He's immediately come in, sized up the four of us, and he's like, all right, that's the one.
Idiot with
over
the
his legs.
Yeah, we're gonna go for it.
I found the one straying from the herd.
He's basically doing crowd work. He's nicking the crowd.
Brutal.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is the Kinda Funny podcast, and it's only going to get worse. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each coming to hang out with each other about whatever they want to hang out about. If you want to hang out with us, go to patreon.com/kindafunny, where, of course, you can get each and every episode early. You can get it ad-free. You can get it with the post show we do. You can even be watching live like all the Chogs are right now on patreon.com/kindafunny. Right there, Lexi G, who's watching live, Lexi G says, can't wait for the title of this episode. And I'm putting out there, Ron Funches leaks all over us. So think about that. That's no. What we can
yeah,
I
like that.
That's bad for my in my community. That's going to really get me in trouble.
All right, we won't do it then. Fine. If you don't want all the benefits of patreon.com/kindafunny, don't worry. Of course, you can support us a number of free ways, including going to the Epic Game Store and using the creator code kindafunny on all your purchases. And then, of course, going to youtube.com/kindafunny, Rooster Teeth, podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode that has ads. It doesn't have post shows. You can't be watching live, but you still have a good time. Housekeeping for you. If Tim didn't give it away already, Top Gun in Review is happening. Catch up, watch the original, get ready for the new one. Then you can watch it all and hear them all nerd out about it and freak out about it. I do want it on the record that you came around, Tim, like you always do, and said, hey, Greg, we're doing this laundry list of in reviews. Which do you want to be on? And when you went through and you got to Top Gun, I went, no. And then I was like, man, maybe I should have done that one. I like Top Gun enough or whatever. And then when I saw that fucking trailer that when we were in, I don't know, Doctor Strange or Spider-Man or whatever, and I was like, fuck, I regret already. And so now I really regret it that it's this good. But how are you going to
And you're missing on the pickle salt.
I'm going to take all the credit for this, including the making of both Top Gun and Maverick, because as you guys know, I'm always the one that's like, Tim, you got to watch these movies. And Tim's like, I don't know. Ron, I don't know if you're a fan of The Karate Kid. I don't know if you've watched Cobra Kai or not, but Tim was like vehemently against it. Finally, I got him into it. Now he's a huge fan. And I finally converted him to being a Top Gun fan as well, which is why we're doing this review to begin
with. He actually talked a lot of shit about Top Gun 1 today. Where he was like, it's not even that good of a film. It's actually kind of bad. So I just think you should know that. That's something he said about the movie.
I agree with him. But I'm excited to see that. I haven't seen the new Top Gun. I mostly go my movie takes by what my son wants to see. That's usually whatever I get to see. I don't see things. So he wanted to see Doctor Strange. That was the last movie we saw. Now he's very excited about Top Gun. I've heard wonderful things about it. People who I know who've seen it early said it was absolutely amazing. I think my friend Reggie Watts said it was like the best movie of all time. So it made me feel excited to go see it. I'm very excited to go see it.
Me and Reggie Watts both saying it. So you know it's true.
Now two people on the same sort of echelon of celebrity. Yeah.
No, real talk, the movie started and less than 10 minutes in, I look over at Gia. I'm like, I think this is my favorite movie ever. She's like, Tim, it's been 10 minutes. And I'm like, I know, but I said it no less than six times throughout the movie. So
what's wild is by the end of it, you forget how it starts and someone has to remind you of like, remember how crazy the start was? And it was like, oh man, no, I didn't.
Nice. Ron, have you been to Uncharted 2?
Ron, have you been to one of these 4DX theaters?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, that's where they went to go see the movie last night. What sort of effects are we talking here, boys?
All of them.
Literally
all of them, Andy.
Including the like never seen snow effect. Which
yo,
I love.
What? We're used to it. Move the chairs moving, the wind fucking blowing, and in Top Gun, oh my God, look over at G and her hair's blowing to the wind. I'm like, this is my favorite fucking movie ever. There's like flashing lights when shit's going on. It's crazy. And then all of a sudden, they're in a snowy area and it just starts fucking snowing all over us. And
whoa.
I've never seen Kevin so excited.
That's awesome. What was it? Was it like styrofoam? What was it?
It looked like some sort of foam or something. Like it didn't even seem like it hit the floor. It like evaporated.
It was just a leakage from the roof and the ceiling.
Yeah, that seems like the kind of thing I wouldn't want an exposed popcorn. You know, like eating exposed popcorn. Too.
I mean, that was like an hour and a half in, or maybe an hour and 45 minutes in. So
you're just assuming they know who we are, Kevin? That we finished our popcorn.
I was gonna say, like, there's like a warning as you enter the theater, like, all right, you all have to eat all your food by the hour and a half mark. This is your warning.
You haven't finished your popcorn by the previews. Who are you?
Exactly. Thank you very much. You make so much sense.
So true.
I mean, refills. Get them.
I also love it too, because like we got to see, it was like the, it wasn't a press thing, it was just like a early fan event, because it was like the one screener before it actually like comes out or whatever. And it, before the movie, there's the Maria Menounos stuff that we all love. There was not trailers though for this, because it was the fan event. So it was just like Tom Cruise doing the thing where it's like they just shot some shit in the back lot, you know, like to promote. And he's looking at the camera, he's just like, hey, what's up? Thank you guys for coming to the theaters. You know, we got to love the theater experience. Shout out like, to the
thanks,
movies.
Tom.
Like, it felt that way. But then it was just like, hey, you're about to watch the greatest fucking movie ever made. But before we do that, I want to show you a trailer for fucking Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Yeah. He just played that. And then it comes back to me. He's like, cool. Now enjoy the fucking movie you paid for now. And I'm like, this is my dream.
But before it goes, they're like, all right, we're going to show you a movie for Mission Impossible 7, right? Or whatever it is. And then it cuts to black, and then this really weird trailer starts, and it's like, I'm a hotel by the beach. And it's like, what the hell? This is a really weird place, because I hadn't seen the Mission Impossible trailer, so I didn't know right away that it wasn't the trailer.
They snuck in some ads for Hotel Tonight. Yeah. Like, it was just like, you motherfuckers, like, you had us by the balls here, and you're just like, but before that, here's some more commercial product.
I like knowing that the 4DX adds to it, because I'm so half and half on it. I really enjoyed it. I saw it in that last Fast and the Furious movie, and I thought it made that excellent. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I don't enjoy it. I saw it in the Batman, and maybe because the Batman was so long that I did not enjoy it.
I don't want to be shaking this long.
Yeah.
If I already had my lower back loosened.
At all. You got to pick and choose.
It's flooded in here now. What the fuck?
I honestly think that it really took the movie to a next level. That being said, it was my second time watching it. But, like, some of those times, like, when anytime a jet shoots a missile, it blows air behind your ear.
That's so
sick. Yeah. It's amazing.
Maybe I'll do that on the second one. I can't.
Nah,
as
you lost
a,
your chance. That was it.
I can't, as a child of the 80s, not watch Top Gun in just the biggest, brightest screen possible with just a normal chair so I can eat an entire popcorn while watching it. I got to do that.
I just imagine Nick in the 40 theater. Can I get a normal chair? Like, I just want
that. You know I would complain about it, right?
Just roll in a computer chair.
When we went to see Doctor Strange in the Dolby Theater, we've been there, obviously. I've been there a handful of times. I know you guys go there for stuff all the time. I know, Tim, you swear by it or whatever. But, like, Jen and I still had such a bad taste in our mouth from that time we went and saw whatever there, where it was way too loud.
Yeah.
Where, like, a couple of old people, we were sitting there during previews with our fingers in our ears because it was just so obnoxiously loud that when I told her we got tickets for Doctor Strange, she was so excited. And I didn't say a fucking word about it being Dolby until we walked in. And she was like, oh, it's the too loud theater again. I'm like, I know, but it was just a mistake that one time. It won't be like that again, right?
You know what's funny is, like, you got to be careful with that, because when we saw Morbius, and I don't know what it was. Maybe the producers were like, listen,
that's what it was.
Here. Just jack up the audio as much as humanly possible so people don't understand how bad this movie is. But I remember thinking, like, and obviously, Ron, like, I'm the oldest person at this company. And so they always make the old guy jokes about me. They're like, oh, his hearing is going. He can't walk anymore. His back hurts. Yes, Greg from Kind of Funny.
Hey, Ron, Nick had shingles.
I did have shingles. Oh, I got shingles. Okay. It was a very painful and
horrible
3 weeks.
Are you a scallywag?
But I'll say this to go back to my story. I look over midway. I'm like, God, this is really loud midway through Morbius. And Andy has earplugs in. Andy had pulled earplugs out of his pocket and put them in.
I'm making it a new thing, Ron, where, like, whenever I go, I'm always Ubering to the theater, and I bring my Bluetooth headphones in and I pop them in, just listen to whatever on the way. Mm-hmm. But in the theater, I made it to, like, what if I put these earphones in just a little bit to cut out the high ends? Because it's, like, sometimes piercing. It hits at a frequency that just kind of hurts sometimes, mm-hmm. especially with Venom 2. Like, there were sound effects in that movie that were just should not have existed.
God awful.
And at that volume, it was like, God damn, dude. Like, I like listening to stuff really loudly, and these are just sound effects that are piercing my ears right now. So I've been bringing the headphones in, and I just kind of put them in halfway, and it cuts out a lot of the high-end kind of shrilly sound effects, and I think it really works. So I recommend it to anybody who's going to loud theaters.
I love that. My son's on the autism spectrum, and he wears noise canceling headphones all the time because he still likes going to monster truck rallies and, like, movies. He loved Venom. But he would bring his Peltor headphones. So I love that.
What brand?
Peltor.
Never heard of that. I'm Googling it.
I'm just going to get some. I'm legit bringing earplugs with me tomorrow. Because here's the thing. I wouldn't mind getting a little hear loss from Maverick. I feel like that. You got to pick and choose your battles. But I'm not getting hear loss from fucking Morbius. I'm not doing that, right? Like, you guys know this story. I don't know if you know the story of Die Hard. But back when Bruce Willis was filming Die Hard, they have that scene where he has to shoot the guy from underneath the table. And apparently John McTiernan, the director, had ordered them to put the loudest blanks in possible so that he would get a really good reaction out of him. And it caused permanent hearing damage in Bruce Willis is like in his right ear. Worth it, right? Because you made Die Hard, right? That's incredible. But I'm not getting permanent hearing damage from a Jared Leto film.
Being a viewer, yeah.
You know?
That's so mean. I never heard that story before, but that makes sense with me, with how I understand Hollywood to be.
It's fucked up. Well, you've been in a bunch of stuff. Nobody's ever put you in the loudest blanks possible. They're like, we want the real Ron reaction out of this. Let's torture this man.
No, but one time they put me, instead of in a dressing room, they put me in Olivia Munn's closet. And they gave Olivia Munn a dressing room and then put me in her closet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this doesn't seem right.
Small closet?
Did she know you were in there, or were they trying to set you up?
No, she did not know I was in there.
Oh, great, okay.
Did she just hear Rustling? She doesn't know I was in there.
That's a
bad in every way.
He's podcasting from there right now. That's
weird. I haven't been able to get out.
Once they let me into Olivia Munn's closet, I never left. The whole
time. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Anonymous, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twinning, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies, and hey, let's hear about them now.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies from head to toe, all over my body. If you don't believe me, of course, right now, I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. You can tell by the little tag going on right there, right? I got the MeUndies lounge shorts going on. Of course, I got the undies, and then boom. MeUndies socks, baby. That's how we do out here at Kinda Funny. I love being soft head to toe in the micromodal fabric. You already know all about that. But if you don't, let's face it, summer's sweaty, but your butt doesn't have to be. With MeUndies light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from. But if you just like classic black, that's totally cool too. They got a bunch of just bold colors for you to go for. They have super fun seasonal prints, tons of styles, and sizes extra small to 4XL, so you can bring the beach to your butt without ever leaving your living room. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you first-time purchasers. You can get 15% off if you sign up for their free-to-join membership. You can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. To get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Tell them Tim Getty sent you.
Okay. Ron Funches, you're on tour right now, or you're about to be on tour, right? You're doing a summer tour.
Yeah.
And then Loot comes out June 24th.
Yes.
Which do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about tour first. I already got the money from the show.
Sure, so of course. Apple paid you and it's over. You're coming to San Francisco in June. That's more important. Cobbs Comedy. Yes.
Oh, nice for you, Cobbs. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Cobbs, one of my favorite clubs. I'm going a lot of places, though. I'll be in D.C. and New York, Philly. I'm going a lot of places, and for first or second time, doing a lot of theater shows. And I would like to sell them out because that's difficult, especially at time and age. And I do a lot of fun, good, positive, nerdy comedy that I think everyone will enjoy from ages 8 months to 80. I cover everyone. You might have seen me or voice in Trolls. You might have heard my voice in as King Shark, as they said, everywhere in between. So come on by. That's pretty much the best pitch I could do.
It works for me.
Sold.
And the Thank best part you. Is you come through, you come to San Francisco July 10th. My son Benjamin will in fact be, it'll be 9 months by then, so he can come, according to you. So he can come and enjoy himself. Which is
he just meets the cutoff. I'll put some earplugs on him.
Ron, go ahead. Is this your first tour since COVID happened? Have you, like you talked about, it's obviously hard to sell some of these places out because of everything that's going on. How, are you just getting back into it? Is this your first full tour?
It's my first full tour. Yeah, I've done some random dates at some select clubs that I enjoyed, like Denver, the Comedy Works, one of my favorite places. So I went there. But as far as touring, this would be the first one I've done since the pandemic. I got a new hour mostly about the changes that have happened in my life. I'm also a new dad again, as well as you. My son just turned a month old. Wow. And so just happy to, that's why it's called Back At It, because I'm just happy to get back on the road, get back to work, and also learn some lessons from the things that happen. And I don't want to work as much, so you should see me now, because who knows,
next year might be it.
That's super exciting. So Cobbs, and then you said you're doing theater shows now. Is this the first tour you've done where you're booking bigger venues like that?
It's not the first one, but it's the first one where they're like mostly bigger venues. It's been lot of half and half and some mixes. But this is the first one where I'm doing mostly one-nighters and bigger venues. Yeah, it's exciting for me. I'm excited that people think that I can fill these places.
Does your set awesome. Need to change at all for like theater seating versus more of like an intimate comedy club?
No, not at all. That's one thing that I learned through experience and time, is that you would think that. You think you have to get more louder or more, or move around stage more. But I find that it's the opposite. I usually get more intimate. I get more to myself, kind of focus people to get on my wave, and then just stay in the pocket, basically.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Well, no, I'm listening. I know, you know, Nick's a stand-up comic too, so it's always interesting to hear how
he
reacts.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I'm not on your level ever. But
well, I wouldn't know that, or I would know that you were a stand-up.
Very true, but no, yeah, I'm about 5 or 6 years in at this point, depending on whether we count COVID. So my process right now is I'm still trying to get passed by Punchline up here and run that whole circuit. So, and nice. I just started running a new room actually, which is fun. Which is the basement.
You're in San Francisco?
Yeah, we're up in San Francisco. So
you want to come do like 5 minutes at my show?
I would love to come do 5 minutes.
Come on by.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Come by.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, thank you. That'd be incredible, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Just don't dress like that. Or get nervous.
Get nervous. I will.
I'm in full sheriff outfit.
Nick's gonna have like the highway trooper hat, like
ride it on a horse. I'm like, where did you get the horse from?
Oh, well, fine. So you trying to get passed over at the Punchline, you said?
Yeah, I'm going through that process right now. So I'm there every Sunday night, sitting with the showcase, watching all the talented people in the Bay Area go up. And I've gone up a couple times, which is good. So I'm starting to get a little traction there, but I'd be very curious to interview you about your process when you were coming up, because I'm wondering if it's the same thing. I'm finding that running shows is a very, very important tool that I have not used before to get sort of exposure. And so I'm running my first room in San Francisco. I used to run a boat show a while back, but now I'm running a room, and I'm really enjoying it, but it's hard. Producing shows it's not fun.
No,
it's really not fun.
You gotta put a lot of energy into advertising and trying to fill the room and wrangle comedians. And for me, when I started, I lived like I was in Oregon. I started comedy in Portland, Oregon, but I lived in this town called Salem, Oregon. And I tried to start a room in Salem, and trying to just get these comedians to drive 45 minutes down was the hardest thing in the world. And I was like, that's the job.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted to be a comedian. You gotta leave your normal area.
It's weird, and it's going to be a shocker for everyone, but when you book comics, they're not the most responsible, like, human beings. I'm like, oh, I don't know, 45 minutes? That's too far of a drive.
Sorry, what does it mean to book a room? Like, what is
Thank
a room
you, Tim.
In
Thank
comedy?
You, Tim. Great job, Tim.
You were wondering. I mean, for me, I don't know what it is for you, Nick, but for me, it was just like going to the little coffee houses, going to places that are not doing well financially and can't fill their room up. And they're like, please, if you can get someone to come drink here, we'll let you have a night, have a couple hours on a night. So I ran a room at a coffee house cafe in Salem. I ran a room at this place called The Space. And you just get that night, and you kind of like, they get all the money from the drink in the bar, and you get money from cover if you're charging a cover, or if you're doing like a coffee house show, or if you ask for donations and then you kind of like pay the comedians and pay yourself with that.
Yep. That is exactly spot on. So that's the room that I'm running right now. Tim, you've seen pictures of it on my Instagram. It's in the basement of a place called Fish and Farm, which actually is right across from the Punchline. They just have a cool little space down there, and we hit them up and said, you know, what does your average customer intake look like on a Wednesday? And they're like zero. So we're like, cool. What if we tried to bring 10 to 20 people in here just, you know, for free? Come in, they'll buy some drinks, and then exactly what Ron's talking about. If people have a little extra money to give, we pay the comics with it and help promote it and stuff like that. And it's kind of symbiotic relationship between the venue and the comics. But it's tough because there's a ton of comedy happening in San Francisco every day. And a lot of it is really, really good. And so it's like, I'm trying to figure out how you promote the shows and how to get, you know, comics to help promote the shows if they will, and you know, and all that jazz. It's super fun, but it's a lot. It's a lot easier just to show up to someone else's show, do a set, drink whatever the free booze is they give you, and then go home.
Ron, yeah. I had a question about your set. Tim already asked whether your set kind of varies, whether it's in a smaller place or in a big theater. Does it vary city to city, or is it pretty set in stone?
I mean, there's certain jokes that are set in stone, and then basically now, which is, it depends on where I'm at in the process. Like before, when I hadn't done comedy in months and stuff, it was all about like looking at my notepad, looking at my jokes, trying to remember the setups and the punchlines. And then once I remember what my jokes are, and it kind of goes into like staying more in the moment and trying to come up with tags or come up with things off those jokes and write new material. And then after that, when I'm going on tour, which is where I'm, because right now I've just been going up at the Comedy Store, going up at the Improv, just trying to go into these 15-minute sets into different ways and like do different 15, so I know I don't have to go into a joke the same way every time, so it doesn't sound robotic. It sounds more fluid and in the moment. And then when I go on tour, it's mostly me avoiding my material, trying to talk about my day, talk about what's going on in that city. I mean, especially now, it's almost like this big reset of, because every city that I've been to isn't the same as for the pandemic. Different. So me kind of learning that way, for the most part, is just more sketchy and scarier. So it's not it's not like, wow, you guys really took the time to fucking get your shit together.
wait till you come up to San Francisco in a month. You'll have some fun up here as well, because this town is falling apart for sure.
It's scary because you really didn't get the, when you're online and on Twitter, you kind of get these negative things about where you live and like online away from you. And you're like, okay. But then when you kind of start to actually travel and you go, well, wow, this place is doing worse. This place is doing worse. This place is doing worse. It really starts to sit home with you that things are not as good as they could be. Cause I went back to Portland, which is where I started, and most of the downtown was boarded up and not looking good at all. And Austin, they pushed it past weird. That's what happens when you try to keep it weird. It gets weird.
It's out of control.
Yeah, it's wild over there now.
Yeah, well,
a lot of Austin was just leaving everything open, right? Like most places in Texas were just kind of keeping everything open regardless of the rules and everything like that. That's why a lot of comics were kind of going to Texas, because everything was so open to just kind of do whatever.
And also because they couldn't survive in California and they were barely surviving. So they got to leave. They didn't feel like, there's a couple at the top that left because they could afford to go to places that don't have taxes. But like, for the most part, they were like, I'm not getting any play out here, so I need to go someplace, you know?
So. Wow. Was that all a big concern for you?
No.
No point did you think about going to Austin, like to going over to Texas, moving to Texas?
Not at all. No,
well, there was that big
family to raise. I got two sons. I got a wife. I don't have any family or anybody in Texas. I don't like. I mean, my career is just starting to get going. Why would I move away from here? I just starting to get traction here. I got family here. I got roots here. I got nowhere to go. I'm going down with the ship. If LA goes down, I'm gonna be here with it, trying to strangle Gavin Newsom.
he's joking about that, FBI.
Yeah, I always forget you can't say that.
I think you can say as long as all of us laugh with it.
Greg talked about King Shark and how he loves you in that role. Is there anything else down the pipeline coming that you could talk about voice acting wise?
Oh, voice acting wise, I mean, I guess I could just talk in generals, but I mean, there's more Harley Quinn for sure. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. There's a show that came out that people might have missed that I really love called Poorly Drawn Lines, which is based off of this comic book strip that I always enjoyed. And it's got a wonderful cast. It's like when I was a teenager, I just loved like just smart stoner cartoons like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and things like that. Yeah. And I feel like this is like the closest thing in that vein. And it came out that's on Hulu. If people want to check that out now. But as far as things coming out, I mean, it really runs the gamut. Again, I'm doing some little kid things I don't think I can talk about that at all. So I got to move on from that.
Don't sacrifice your career. Nobody's watching.
Well, so. I'm doing a movie where I play Michael Cera's best friend. He's a crab, and I'm a barnacle that lives on his body. I think I can't say that one. I'm excited for that one. It's a real Jersey Shore-ish, which is now retro. I did not know, but it's back. It's back. People will Jim Chan Laundry in again.
Oh, wow. Good to know. America's back.
We're all back, baby.
America's reopened.
What's the pitch on Loot? Because I got to say, Apple TV Plus is the unsung hero of the last year, where they just came out of nowhere, and every show is just banger after banger after banger. And even if a show might not be for you, it's gonna be for someone. The quality's there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for me, on the other end, I go, man, they don't seem to cancel shows after one season, so this could possibly be good job security for the first time in a long time for me. And last time I thought I was going to have job security, I was doing a slip and slide show with Bobby Moynihan, but then we gave 40 people diarrhea, and they shut us all down.
Oh my God.
I thought I was going to be on the cover of slip and slide boxes.
I forgot about that.
I was ready to spend that money.
Holy fuck, I forgot about that. Oh my God.
A lot of people were laughing, but I was like, oh my God, you guys didn't understand the money on that one. It was
We talked about that so much. That's so freaking funny, man. Like, I'm so sorry, but what a story.
It all worked out okay.
Diarrhea is probably connected on Google. Like, I'm so sorry for that.
It's okay. I never thought. My family, I was like, man, my family never reach out by anything I do, but they all texting me about this. They all know about this.
That's fucking hysterical. That's something we definitely brought up on our podcast, but I didn't really know that it was like
Ron. You never think about the people involved.
You're just out here for the jokes, Andy. You're not thinking about the lives crushed by diarrhea.
Yeah. Diarrhea has affected my life many times. And I thought I had defeated it.
Ron is like, not again. Not again.
It's back, my mortal enemy. I met someone who, because I didn't get sick, which was lucky for me, but I didn't. Because I thought it was funny, too, because I did not get sick and I got paid the money, even though I was hoping for multiple seasons. But then I met someone who did get sick, and they were like, I went to the hospital twice. And then they were like, the sentence that got to me, they were like, this was the closest that I got to truly considering just wearing a diaper, because I could not control when I was going to poop.
Oh my God.
That just sounds horrible. Yeah, now it's real to you. Now you understand. Yeah.
Now you feel bad.
Let me tell you about Lou.
They were all drinking the water?
Yeah, no. We got to go back here because you got to start from the beginning. How did this whole thing come about? How did everyone get the diarrhea?
We were just shooting in an area that was like near a lot of farmland, and it was very dusty hills. It's kind of near. It's near where they shoot the Mandalorian. And
okay.
So
yeah, but Pedro Pascal has yet to shit his pants. So
yeah, as far as we know.
Disney would cover that.
We don't know what's happening in
that. So some people got sick. They thought it was the catering, and they got rid of the catering. So now I feel bad for them, because then they got their reputation hurt. And then the people were still getting sick, and they found out it was because of the parasites, that when the wind was blowing through, it was blowing the dust and the parasites into the water. So they tried to move it, find a new place, but it was going to be so expensive. So then they were like, we're going to go on hiatus. We're going to hiatus for 2 weeks. And then they were like, we're shutting it down.
Wow.
Did you get to slip? Did you get to slide?
They never let us slide, which I was so mad about, until 40 people got sick. And then I was like, oh, the universe works in mysterious ways. I am the chosen one.
Oh my God, you're so lucky.
I was lucky.
You got to imagine, though, that the owners of that catering company are reading the news like, fuck yeah, it's not us. Like, yeah. It wasn't us.
But that's the problem. Once your name's attached to that in LA, like, their name's attached, what do they do? You know what I mean? They can't walk around and throw. I sent Kevin the Daily Mail article about this, where, yeah, you scroll down and there's Ron's face all big grinning.
Yeah, I was proud. What water park isn't giving someone diarrhea? And if we crammed so many into so few days.
It's not an authentic experience.
What's so funny to me is, for whatever reason, I thought that people were taking the slip and slide too hard, and it was shooting water into them, and that was causing the diarrhea. That's what my first thought was when I read that, when Andy started talking about this. And is that wrong? Is that a wrong?
Yeah, that's wrong.
You're not wrong. I heard people say to me that they thought that the slides were so big that people just were shitting themselves from the G-forces.
Jesus Christ.
Gun style.
This is so great. Well, I'm sorry. I know this must have been very, very difficult at the time, but I'm glad that we can laugh at it now.
Yeah, me too. Now, yeah.
Brutal. How long did it take until you could laugh at it? Like, was it because I'd be like, this is fucking hilarious. This is shit, but this is fucking, like, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it took a couple weeks for me, just because, like, I think that's the difference with how I was when I was in the 20s. I'd be like, this show sucks, and this show, blah, blah, blah. They should just get rid of this show. Why does it exist? And then when I actually started working in the industry, and I was like, and I like got started working on a kid's show, and it wasn't great, but I was like, man, there's 200 people working here hard to make this bad show. And so it kind of changed my view on that. And so I was kind of like, man, I can't really celebrate that a lot. I was fine, because I got paid, but a lot of people working on the crew had to go find jobs really quickly. And so it took a couple of weeks. And plus, I really loved that job. It was so much fun. Can you imagine? Like, hey, I'd worked with Bobby Moynihan is one of my favorite people in all of entertainment. I love that dude. We had already worked together. You can check out this YouTube cartoon called Lofi, where he is a pot dealing manatee and I play his son. And it's one of the dumbest, silliest things I've ever. It's actually my wife's favorite thing I've ever done. and that makes me feel so happy. And so I just would get, they would pick me up in an SUV, drive me 45 minutes, and then I would know my day was starting once I saw a giant red and yellow water slide. And then I just wear some shorts and a polo shirt and go hang out with Bobby Moynihan for 6 hours.
What a dream.
Exactly. And I was like, this is NBC plus Slip Whammo? Two titans of industry?
There's no way this can fail. We're going 25 seasons.
Yeah.
Nothing can take this down.
Yes.
Law and Order of Water.
Wipe out
the diarrhea.
With two funny people killing it. And it was, we put Olden Polynice down a water slide from Seattle Super Sick. So I was like, this is going to go for 6 seasons. Easy.
That name gave me whiplash. Holy shit.
That brought you back, right? But then after a while, I was like, oh, this is really funny. That's a lot of diarrhea. And then it's really fun. I mean, it was objectively, giving 40 people diarrhea and that causing your show to get canceled hilarious. Is comedy. That's comedy.
Hilarious. Did former NBA player Olden Polonese get diarrhea?
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope I didn't.
He's 6 foot. Diarrhea. He's 6 foot flat. Like, that's got to be a weird process to be in that position. Yeah.
No, I do want to say, I don't think that you need to hold it on your shoulders.
I gotta stop you. It's weird for him to, a 6 foot person to have diarrhea or go down a slip and slide.
7 feet tall. 7 feet tall, Greg? He's 7 foot.
You said, I said he was six flat. Oh, I was like, that's not very tall for
him. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm taller than
him. Oh, he's seven feet tall. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's seven. He's gigantic. And I just feel like that works different. Like, there's something different happening there physics wise, Greg.
Diarrhea or going down the slide?
Just life. Just everything in life is different.
Sure. That either way. Yeah,
get back to you.
Better.
Oh, I'm just saying, Ron, I don't think you need to hold it on your shoulders. You're not the one that gave them diarrhea. Although, if you want to be the keeper of it, I mean, you know, it is yours.
It happened under my watch.
He was the host?
Yes, as a host. As now an award-winning host. I just won an award for being a host. It made me
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
What was the story there?
I don't know the name of the award, but I got a text about it. I host this show. Well, actually, I guess I should bring this up. I host this show occasionally for Omen, the HP subsidiary, the laptop owners and desktop creators. And we do this video game challenge where we play games and do trivia, and I've hosted it. And I won an award for best host of a virtual or remote show. And so by whatever this company, probably a company also owned by HP. But
hey, it's still an award. You still put it on the resume. Put it on the IMDb trivia.
You take that.
Absolutely. Look,
after everything you've been through, Ron, after everything you've been through, you take that award.
You deserve this award.
It's my first award. I'm so excited.
Greg paid to get a Trendy Gamer Award a long time ago.
It's not for the Johnny Boz Award. It's a very different award. But back to where we started before the diarrhea, Apple TV, Loot. What is going on with Loot?
You're an excellent host. I already knew that. But wow, really good skills there. Loot is a show about Maya Rudolph. She plays the wife of the world's richest man, kind of a Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk type weirdo type, and they get divorced, and then she gets half his money, and then it goes through her life of what it's like for her to try to reconnect in the real world and spend all that money. And I play her cousin, who she has not seen in a long time, but now works at her foundation, which she has returned to find some purpose in her life. And that makes it sound a little more dramatic, but it's very funny. It's Maya Rudolph being silly. It's me. It's a wonderful comedian by the name of Joe Kim Booster, Nat Faxon, who's in like everything. And then Michaela J. Rodriguez from Pose, so we got multiple Emmy Award winners. We got a lot of things going on. It's from the creators of Master of None and Parks of Rec writers. Nice. So really a great pedigree. I'm happy to be a part of it. I was intimidated and then learned that I was actually, I deserve to be there. So I'm very happy. Yeah.
You got some Emmy Award winners. You got a HP Omen Award winner. Like, we got quite the crew on
exactly.
But is that, like, real talk, though? Was that intimidating to do a scene with Maya Rudolph?
Like, yeah, it truly
she's
was.
She's kind of in the pantheon of the best improv comics ever.
Yeah. No, it really was. And a lot of the people she worked with before, and this was new for me. And so I just got it out of the way early where I was like, look, I gotta tell you, I love you. My mom loves you. My mom loves your mom. I love your mom. You are a queen of industry of comedy. I just gotta show you to me, this is like if I got to meet Lucille Ball in that time. And so I gotta show you that respect and love. And then after that, I'm gonna go to work and just talk to you like a regular person. But I had to do that first, you know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you'd mentioned, Ron, that you this could be a symbol of some sort of stability for the future, and that kind of excites you. Do you think this can become a multiple season type thing? Like, right off the bat, do you think
Has anyone gotten diarrhea working on it?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, Ron, if someone gets diarrhea on this one, they're not going to hire you back for a third show. This is it. You can't be giving 40 people diarrhea twice on two different shows.
I know I'm on the edge. That's why I'm excited about this show. Because I was like, oh, I've been on a couple bad shows. And if I get on a third bad show, they might start thinking it's me. And so
I can imagine the producers are like, how come Ron just keeps hanging out by the craft service table? And you're like policing everything that goes out. No shrimp. Absolutely no shrimp.
No, a couple people got COVID, but that was normal in any production this day and age. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I just think it has a great pedigree, great people. It's everybody who works on it is top notch, from the actors to the lighting people, to the cameramen, to the makeup and hair people. I didn't even know. I go and become friends with some of these hair and makeup people, and then follow them on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, they work on Russian Doll, they work on Stranger Things, they work on The Unite, and you're like, geez, you work on high pedigree shows. And then I go, oh, am I in a high pedigree show? It might not be, but I've seen clips I've seen pieces. It looks good.
It kind of sounds like it is, though. It kind of sounds like it's like a premium product for Apple. That's pretty cool.
I think so, but you never know these days. I thought the Quibi show was gonna take off.
No, you didn't. Don't fucking lie. You didn't think the Quibi show was gonna take off.
Greg, I'll give you the slip and slide show. No, everyone says that Quibi was gonna be a dud from the get go. But when you were thinking about it at the time, pre-pandemic, I just remember like, I'm always on the go. No, had time. 10 minutes. I could watch a thing. This it's got some great production values. Maybe this could work. I didn't think it was going to unseat Netflix or anything, but I thought it would last longer than a couple of months. But
I think you just wanted to say the word Quibi.
I did. It's a hacky punchline now, but
it worked on this.
It just turns out people's attention spans are either 2.5 hours long for Netflix or 30 seconds long for TikToks. Quibi just had no place in there.
TikTok came and ate their lunch for sure. Yeah, they did.
That's one of those where I was like, I'm always like, I hate everything that's new. And so when TikTok happened, I was like, this is dumb. This is a flash in the pan. This is not going to stick around. This is how many times did I say, does no one remember Vine? And then now, fuck, everyone's on TikTok. And that's
I know. You get a lot of good, a lot of comedians building their platform on
there. They really are.
They are.
Like overnight, over the span of a year, maybe it was just nothing. And then now everything's just clips with subtitles over it. And it's
I don't care for it though. Cause you let me ask you this, Nick. I never know because it's fun to talk to comedians of different backgrounds about it. But for the most part, I just don't like it because it's usually people copying. I mean, because I've seen it a lot when I have this conspiracy theory bit that I've seen go around a bunch of times, and it's usually people lip syncing over it with no credit to you whatsoever. And I was like, I don't feel like this helps me at all. What good comes from this? I don't. So for a lot of parts, I don't like the fact that the creativity in TikTok seems to be based off of copying and repeating. I don't really enjoy that.
I feel like that's everything, though. I think that's just the trends of any of the internet in general. Like somebody catches fire with it, and then everyone else, I think normally, like guys like me that are lower on the rung, just go, oh, that could be a way to get a little bit more exposure. So I can't fault people for that. And a lot of my friends pretty much just post crowd work, which I always think is kind of fun because it's kind of those are the in the moment things that kind of are flash in the pans. They come and go. It's just now people are posting their entire sets. And I'm like, there's such an old school part of me that's like, why would you don't burn your material like that? But then this is how people are getting big. They're getting famous. Yeah. I thought I had to do it.
I was like, oh, you got to do TikTok. You got to do on Snapchat. You got to do all these things that the young people are doing. But then I realized it was just Chris D'Elia doing it to do bad things. So I was like, maybe I'm too old. Maybe it's okay if I'm out of this area.
I'm just too much of a good human being to be on any of these platforms.
I don't trust any comedian over 40 on freaking TikTok.
I'll stay honestly, though. Like, I feel in the way that I've kind of fallen off of listening to music and trying to discover new music, TikTok has done that for comedians for me. Where, like Nick was just mentioning, it'll be a clip from somebody's set, and it may not even be that comedian's TikTok account. It may just be a random, like, hey, we're a comedy TikTok channel. We just post aggregated clips and sometimes I'll see old clips of Mitch Hedberg
and put them on. Yeah.
No, I'll see like clips of Mitch Hedberg or whatever. I'm like, oh, cool. I like, you know, I'll like this in hopes that I get more. And then I'll get newer comedians that I didn't know existed. And then the next thing you know, I'll start to see them on a podcast somewhere. I'm like, oh, shit, that dude's I actually like this dude. Let me follow what they're doing. So I feel like it does a pretty good job of getting newer comedians that I feel like are tougher to find because you're not necessarily going out to a whole lot of stand-up events anymore. I think it's a really good utilization for like discovery, you know.
Well, I like that you giving me new information. I mean, I'm probably maybe I can have I could. Now, yeah, I'll tell him.
You're trying to figure out how to walk it back. How the fuck can I make a TikTok now?
How can I get like back in there? Yeah, let me get back in there.
Hire me, Ron. $5. Like it's as simple as like here's a little 15-second clip of you making fun of somebody in crowd work, and then you just do that, and then you post other jokes from other stand-up sets, and then by the time you know it, people are like, "Oh, who the fuck is this Ron Funches guy? This is funny as hell," and like it just kind of spreads that way naturally, and I feel like a lot of comedians have found their sort of rhythm by posting shit on there. I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head right now. I'm blanking. I think of like Bobby Lee is always somebody I see on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a video of Bobby Lee going, I don't even have a TikTok account, but apparently people are sharing my shit all the time.
Yeah.
And that's how I see those clips. Yeah.
I do need that. I feel that's lacking for me clip wise. I'm not out there clipping like I need to. If I can't hire you, Andy, sure.
Sure.
Please, yeah. You work for me now.
Andy, you're officially working for Ron. It's tough though, because I've seen a lot of my friends that are really going after it, but they have to film everything. Mm-hmm. And they get to the room early. They got to set everything up, and they just get so caught up in that. And I've seen a lot of guys that are like, literally, I got to take a break from filming my sets because I'm so in that space as opposed to the creative space of just showing up. And because it's two different parts of your brain, you know, it's that more analytical production part. And that's
specifically
I don't like that part either. I love that part, but that's because that's what we do here. I love all of the aspects of this job that allows me to do that. But comedy for me is different, and I like being in that silly part of my brain. And so what I'm more worried about is the aperture setting on this camera, right? Did I set the focus? Is the audio going to come through clearly? I just don't like that. But you got to get used to it, because I feel like that's a part of the game now.
I was going to say, in terms of discoverability, it's the same with like streamers, where you hear the biggest streamers mention you're not going to grow by just going live on Twitch because there's no discoverability. YouTube's algorithm is shit. It's not going to push like tiny little viewers. So like you grow through Instagram Reels, you grow through TikTok, and you post funny clips and you post moments of you talking about whatever and making your chat laugh. And then that's what like brings people to the stream. And it just kind of like it's all kind of cyclical in that way. Which
I feel like this is the future of business classes, really. Like these are the type of things that people need to be spending time talking about making money on at from an early age. And this is actually very informative for me. I would love to continue to talk about it even off stream, because really, I got my Twitch account should be much bigger than it is. I'm not very famous, but I'm more famous than the numbers are indicating.
And then there's 62 people who show up to watch.
I wish it was 62, right? We talking a good 50, 44 is a solid day.
You gotta share that around.
I still love the Funch Bunch, no matter how small my
name. I love that name. It's a great fucking name.
That's true though, man. It's tough though. I mean, these guys know a lot more about it than I do, but it's hard to just stay with whatever the newest thing is and get that exposure. Even like, because even the level that we're at, which I like where we're at, don't get me wrong, but growth is, it's difficult for us. We hit a kind of a plateau, and we're happy to have the audience that we do, and we're growing, but it's just like, I'll be honest with you, on 7 or 8 years into owning my own company, I was like, we're going to have 10 million subscribers. We're going to rival Rooster Teeth. And now no one's ever heard of Rooster Teeth. They haven't even seen it.
That's a good point. Mm. That's a very good point.
I love this clip that you posted, Greg. This is...
Oh, yeah. If you want to throw this up, Kevin, this is like when you brought up TikTok comedy or whatever. This guy.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah.
Stavros.
He's also on the biggest podcast on the planet.
Guess what? I have no idea who he is, except he's a TikTok comedian.
Yeah, really?
And he came through my feed, and I was like, you're hilarious, and I followed him, and now I see him, and I think
everybody lives in a fucking house. How many roommates and shit?
He just did Cubs.
You live in a basement?
Tell me. I would have loved to have known. Why did you tell me?
He lives in a fucking high-rise. How many roommates and shit?
Here's my issue, is that then you're cannibalizing your set for clips, right? And then if you wanted to get a special, if you wanted to...
But he does a great thing. He does a great thing where normally what he puts up is him working the crowd.
It's all crowd.
It's all like, what do you do for a living? And then he fucks around with that guy.
So a lot of people will, they'll take their choice bits that they're about to burn, or they'll just do, they'll film everything. And then that one great dynamic interaction you have with the crowd where you just slay someone, that's what they put up. And that's what people, I guess, want to see now is just you... It's like just douche and a heckler.
Comedian destroys.
Heckler, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the reality is, too, with a lot of this stuff, it's like people do just, when they see a joke, they just kind of want you on stage to even just perform the hits. Like, I think you become a certain level of comedian where it's like, I don't think you're really burning your set when you're getting fans watching you on TikTok and sharing it with their friends and all that stuff, you know?
Oh, you'd be surprised, though, because you could get, I mean, it really is. It's like you got to pick and choose. Do you want to, if it's already been filmed and you've already been paid for it, that's one thing. But I mean, my first special, that's like 10 years of my material. Yeah. That's 10 years of my best jokes. And if I had taken some of those and burned those, and then they'd be like, oh, well, people have seen this. They don't want to see that in your set anymore. That's like, that's not only to me affecting me monetarily, that's affecting my art, that's affecting how good of a and I might be, I know I am old school in that regard, but like I love specials, I love putting together full courses, I love setting vibes. That's one of the things you'll get if you come to my tour. If you come early, there's a full playlist that I curate and enjoy. Wow. That's going to, even some of my jokes are going to reference some of the things that come up in these songs. It's like, it's a full I just think a lot about comedy. So in some cases, I don't enjoy just being like, okay, I have to just put this out now, when in like, it's not done. I know it's not done. There's no way these, I mean, I guess it's what you say, you got to do crowd work, but I'm not really a destroy heckler type of comedian. I would be more like comedian comfort, you know, comforts heckler, finds out why he needs this much attention.
Let's get to the root of the problem. What's going on in your life right now? Why are you taking that out on me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you need is a guy. You need a guy that's going to come film your stuff for $5 and clip that up and then put it up for you. And then you just say yay or nay, you like it or not. And that man's name is Andy. We can loan him to you pretty much indefinitely. We're not really using him.
Nice.
Here's the thing, Ron. It's like getting out of the house, you know, that's kind of a big ask. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll pass on it for now. Thank you for offering me up, Nick.
Damn,
no problem, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just, it's a whole to do to get in the car and go somewhere. That's a lot to ask for me, you know what I mean?
In a 7x7 city.
Yeah, I mean, when you walk to the house, to the front of the house though, Nick, it's like that's a trek.
Different temperature zones.
A trek, yeah.
It's way colder on that front.
It's chilly here. I have the AC, but when I get into the living room, I kind of like, I want to go back to the bedroom. So
I totally get it.
True for me. I've been dealing with acne lately a lot, and it's very, very annoying.
Acne Acme?
Acne.
Oh, okay.
Acme. You think he's the roadrunner?
Sometimes people gotta deal with acne. Acme's a real company. They really exist.
I'm just always dealing with like skincare stuff. I was trying to up my skincare game, and I ended up just buying a bunch of shit I'm probably never gonna use.
Here's a mani-pedi guy I wanna know. Anybody?
I love a good petty. I don't need the mani.
No mani.
I've never had either.
I'm a big fan of like spa appointments, though. If anyone wants to do like a nice relaxing, you know, aromatherapy massage, that's my jam right there. Except for some reason, between the beginning of COVID and the end of COVID, everything now costs 800 times more than it used to. So now I find myself just Googling like relaxation massage with like hot stones, and I read the description, and that's enough for me. I don't actually have to
visualize.
Yeah,
you
feel the relaxation. It's like ASMR just relaxed me for a second. I was like, that's good. And my wife keeps saying, no, that actually has zero effect on your health mentally. But I don't, you know, I have more money, so it's okay. I'm not gonna spend the money. Yeah.
But I recommend, I love getting a good mani-pedi.
I don't like the feeling of the clipping at my, I don't like that feeling.
The cuticle?
Where they clip, I don't like the cuticle thing. No, I don't like that.
I like that. It's the right kind of pain.
Pulling it.
I no, feel like you. I know my cuticles. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Like you mow your own lawn.
Yeah, exactly, Nick. Exactly. Like mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing with my cuticles. You may not know the process, sir or man. And I don't really feel comfortable with you trying to go after the cuticle. Nick, we could see the wound out of the glasses. Did you know that?
Oh, right here. Yeah.
You see some of the
Jesus.
Yeah. That's it. Do you guys want to see it? Should I just
show it? No. Yeah. Lean in. Let's end this podcast looking at these eyes, these potatoes.
As I thought it was.
Yeah, no,
that's
no,
not terrible. It's mostly just swelling from the shot.
Pretty, though.
This, this was just, I think, just like a burst blood. This is like a burst blood vessel when I was like, what the fuck is that?
Talk trash about
it. Just the most uncomfortable thing I've ever been through in my life, and these jackals just jump on it for content.
You reminded me of the one thing I did because you asked me, you're like, you wanted to ask me more about the tummy tuck.
Yeah.
One thing that I did not know and that they brought up, but they brought up in generalizations. They were like, well, when we cut this area out, your normal circulation and fluid that moves around is going to be looking for a place to go, and it's just going to, gravity is just going
to take it to
and
your, it's like legs or ass?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Where'd it go?
To your balls.
Oh, to your balls?
Oh!
Yes.
How did they just get heat, like grapefruits? How big were they?
Oh, very large enough to shock both my wife and I.
I'm going to guess like tennis ball. I'm going to guess around like lemon.
Bigger.
What the fuck? Yeah.
No, man.
A healthy medium grapefruit. For sure. Wow.
Does it dissipate over time? Like
over 3 weeks?
Okay. Wow. Like,
do you ever miss it?
No, I thought I would. I thought it would be fun, but then really, like, nowhere to sit, to put anything.
That's my question. Yeah,
you gotta sit and scoot back like a dog rubbing its ass on the rug. It's not a fun time.
Because immediately I'm thinking of like, that's gonna be like a front butt kind of situation on the, if you're wearing shorts, like. That you're gonna see them popping out like there's nowhere for them to hide.
Hanging brain. We're back to hanging brain.
Yeah, front way.
No, as my wife put it, she said it looked like my penis became a kid that was just wearing too big of a winter coat. You know, like the big because my penis just went away and my balls just took over the whole real estate. Yeah.
Oh my God. Great podcast. Thanks for watching, everybody.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Funches is coming to your town. He's coming to your town. Come see him. Go to ronfunches.com. You can find out where he's going to be on this tour, back at it. And of course, look for Loot coming to Apple TV June 24th. Ron, on top of all that, you Twitch stream. You want more people to come. Where and when can they find you on Twitch?
Twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. I try to stream every day, but right now, because my son is a month old, that's been very difficult. But hopefully we'll be back with a consistent stream. I'm moving to my new house and getting my setup put together. So please come by and just believe I will be there when you need me.
Ooh, Vampire Survivors.
Yes, sure. Yeah, it's a wonderful game. I love it.
Oh, and Evil Dead? Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, you got to come play Evil Dead with this. That'll be fun.
I'm new to it, so please. I don't know anything about it, and I can't decide if I like it or if I don't, so please.
Okay, it's super fun.
We're the ultimate survivor team. We're the ultimate survivor.
They can't stop us.
We'll play with you. You'll love it. Don't worry about it. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, we love you for watching this. Remember, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you get every episode ad-free and get it with a post-show like we're about to do right now. Of course, if you don't want to come there and you want to get the shows for free, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Like I said, Ron's coming to your town. Find him on runfunches.com. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.